The British might think a 25-degree streak is a heat wave, and in Australia, heat has been a scourge on our farmers. But what about the ocean? Heat waves in the ocean, is that a thing? Not only is it real, it's potentially more devastating than the ones on land. Henry Tai speaks with the researchers tackling ocean heat waves.
What are ocean heat waves and what causes them? How long have we known about them for?
So ocean heat waves aren't a brand new phenomenon. They've been around for a long time. It's just that their frequency and intensity has appeared to increase over the last decade or the last few decades. So what they are is when the heat in the ocean is above the highest 90% level for more than 5 days. That sounds like a very technical description, but it's basically the same as on land. You get really intense heat for an extended period of time, and it lasts much longer in the oceans than it does on land.
So on land, if we have an intense heat wave, we might get bushfires. What happens under the ocean?
The result of heat waves in the ocean is that you get coral bleaching. Likewise, habitats or marine living animals that form those habitats, they die, their shells crumble. In other parts of the world, they've had animals walk out of the ocean because it's not just necessarily the heat. Sometimes the oxygen changes as well. And one of the biggest signatures, though, is that those that can leave do.
And what other effects can we see in the water itself? Is it just a change in the heat, a change in the chemical composition? Is there more salt, less salt? What's happening there?
So the chemical composition can change as a result of the heat. So, for instance, oxygen levels are tied up with heat as well. It's not a very simple story to explain, but heat's the simplest expression. It can change the layering of the water and make it harder for nutrients to mix through the water column. And ultimately, it changes the biggest signature we can recognise as people is it changes the composition of the animals and that even the plants in there, which then changes, can change water colour. You can get a different kind of phytoplankton around, and that then changes the availability of those food sources up into the fish.
Are there any symptomatic cures that you could use for a short-term period?
There has been some discussion of technological fixes in the geoengineering style of pumping cold water. Now, there's a lot of unknown effects of that. You've got to make sure you're not accidentally making the situation worse by exposing them to water that has other properties that they're not ready to cope with, like high nutrients. Equally, other suggestions have been to put up big sunshades periodically. But one of the things they are actively looking into is whether we can effectively selectively breed. Can we help speed up evolution so that these species can cope?
And geographically, are there spots in the ocean that are more prone to heat waves and perhaps why?
Yeah, so the heating of the ocean isn't uniform. The ocean has taken up the most of the heat that's associated with climate change, like more than 90%, but it's not distributed evenly. And because of the patterns of currents and where ocean currents dip down or where they come to the surface or where they hit each other, you do get hot spots. So it turns out that the southwest and the southeast corners of Australia are two of the global hot spots. A couple of other places are the big west coast of the United States. So there are patches that are more prone to it, but to my knowledge, there's nowhere in the world that's actually completely immune to them.
With heat waves in the ocean, comparing that with deforestation of, say, carbon sinks, how much does the heat wave affect both the weather and things like carbon absorption into the sea?
The oceans and the atmosphere are very tightly linked. Atmospheric heating can affect and create an ocean heat wave. In other spots, the ocean can actually drive it. There's a couple of ways it can do that. One is that one of the biggest set of currents in the world is called the thermohaline circulation. And basically what happens is cold water sinks in the North Atlantic and then runs along the bottom of the ocean bed, round the whole length of the Atlantic, around into the Antarctic and across the Pacific before it comes back up. And that takes hundreds of years to do, but that ties up carbon in the deep water as it does it. Now, if that changes, if, for instance, we tend to slow down that circulation, which appears to have happened in response to potentially the changing the meltwater coming off the Arctic and Greenland melting. So we change, ironically, there's more cold water coming in right in that spot because of the melt, and it's changing the heat turnover as well. So that circulation is slowing down, so that's obviously changing that link. The other thing it can do is, going back to that plankton that I was talking about before, the larger plankton that usually feeds fish is also a kind that's sort of bigger and heavier and can sink out and hold carbon as it disappears, where the little stuff just sort of spins around on the spot and feeds the bacteria and doesn't really sink away. So what's called the carbon pump, the big, almost like a physical pump of moving carbon out of the surface and trapping it in the deep, is also changes with these kind of events.
Dr. Beth Fullerton, research group leader at the CSIRO on ecosystems modelling and risk assessment, ending that report by Henry Tai.